This is Bucky Bacall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. On a previous broadcast, I defended chickens from the grossly inaccurate stereotypes about chicken intelligence. You know, words like bird brain. I think I made a pretty good case for chicken smarts. This week, I'm going to deal with an even more common and equally wrong stereotype. The notion that chickens are cowards. I haven't called a scared person a chicken since grade school, but I hear other people use that insult all the time, and I'm often dismayed during election cycles, when nowadays it seems common for political candidates trying to draw attention to opponents who refuse to debate them by having someone mock the no-show by appearing in public in a chicken suit. The truth is, chickens are exceedingly courageous. First of all, roosters are chickens, for those of you who still haven't gotten that straight. And there'd be no tradition of cockfighting if it wasn't for male chickens' propensity to fight to the death when they feel there is no option. I want to stress when there's no option, because one of the justifications for cockfighting is the myth that when two cocks meet, they will always fight to the death. Provided there's enough resources to share, such as in a true free-range situation, or wild situations where there's plenty of space and food, roosters can even be friendly to one another. Similarly, most people should have heard that roosters can be pretty courageous when it comes to defending their territory and flock from predators, or humans they don't trust. But because they're intelligent, they can also be friendly with any number of species that they know pose no threat. Hens are no cowards either. Anyone who's observed mother hens in a true free-range situation knows that they'll go after anyone who threatens their chicks with at least as much ferocity as a rooster. There are situations where a hen or even a rooster will turn away from a fight, but that's not evidence of their cowardice, but rather of their intelligence. Chickens know when they simply can't win, and when the stakes are too high to defend against an overpowering enemy, they'll retreat. Now, my listeners probably know I don't approve of speciesism. Every creature has its talents. But I will say that many animals don't have nearly the level of courage combined with a sense of strategy that chickens have. For instance, over the years, I've adopted several ferrets. They're cute companions, even if they're not as practical and useful as chickens. But a ferret will start a play fight, or sometimes a real fight, with an opponent that could, and probably will, defeat it. Perhaps even fatally. I lived with one ferret that was particularly fearless. And yet, just to complicate this discussion a bit further, I had this fearless ferret on a leash for a walk in the yard, and one of my hens, Name, caught wind of his scent and came charging around the corner of the house, squawking and beating her wings. She was the first one to ever scare the devil out of that ferret. Another group of critters that are a lot more cowardly than any chicken I've ever met are the corporate agribusiness and chemical companies performing redundant and excessive animal testing who convince their equally cowardly cohorts in Congress to pass the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act, or AETA, in November 2006. This was yet another example of our overreaching federal government's attempts to label anyone who threatens the profits of the corporations they serve as an extremist or terrorist. To make a law to label as terrorist anyone who would say anything bad, such as the truth, about them, is more cowardly than anything I've ever witnessed from a chicken. This law is not about violent individuals. It's about suppressing legitimate criticism of companies. Despite claims that there is a clause in the bill that exempts First Amendment-protected activities, a wide range of legal experts agree that the clause is weak, at best. Now illegal, under the Animal Enterprise Terrorist Act, are activities such as private undercover investigations, whistleblowing, and nonviolent civil disobedience. And if someone causes a business to lose money with these actions, they will be punished equal to a terrorist who harms people or destroys property. In fact, the law is so broadly written that even activists who organize boycotts and leaflet outside of stores could conceivably be charged under the Animal Enterprise Terrorist Act with terrorizing or economically damaging animal enterprises. Animal enterprises are defined as any business involving animals, including manufacturers, distributors, and sellers of animals or animal products, such as factory farms, fur farms, vivisection labs, rodeos, circuses, and that kind of thing. The AETA even applies to third parties that do business with animal enterprises, such as law firms, insurance companies, and investment houses. The list of nonprofits that have never been labeled extremists, such as humane societies, animal adoption groups like Pet Finder, and culinary associations such as Jewish Vegetarians of North America, have all opposed this bill to no avail. It passed the Senate by unanimous consent in the middle of the night, right before Congress went into recess. It then passed the House on the very first day back by a procedure called suspension of the rules, which is normally used for totally uncontroversial legislation, like naming holidays or honoring some person. Only half a dozen lawmakers were even in the room. One was Dennis Kucinich, who spoke against the bill, but not even Kucinich called for a roll call vote, which would have shown that there weren't enough members of Congress in the room for a legitimate vote and have killed it on the spot. Honestly, the Backyard Chicken broadcast could be indicted for telling the truth about corporate eggs and meat, eggs that are misleadingly labeled as free-range, cage-free, or organic, or for revealing evidence that factory farms are responsible for the spread of bird flu, or for helping to expose the National Animal Identification System as the un-American killer of small and hobby farms it could have been. The supposedly safety-oriented program that would require everybody with any animals to register and track each one with electronic devices. As of April 2008, the Animal Enterprise Terrorism Act has not been invoked in any cases. Of course, that shouldn't make anybody relax. No doubt, Homeland Security groups are working on cases as we speak. Furthermore, corporate interests are using the federal law as a model, an inspiration, so to speak, as they lobby politicians to introduce even more suppressive versions of the law to state legislatures. A version was introduced in California early in 2008. By July, the bill had been amended by various branches and members of California state government, but is still very much in play. For links to more information on the Animal Enterprise Terrorist Act and to groups working to repeal it, see BuckyBacaw.org. There's an organized effort to get Congress to repeal the law, and soon as a case goes to court, there are many ways for grassroots groups to voice their objections, many of which will still be legal, I hope. If you care about chickens, be as brave as they are and do your part in speaking out against laws like these. More importantly, lead by example by incorporating chickens into your outdoor space. Backyard chickens are so good, they make corporate chickens look bad without you having to even explain it. I'm Bucky Bacaw. I had a good time. Bucky Bacaw's Backyard Chicken Broadcast was produced by the Sagebrush Variety Show with support from Boise Community Radio and the Green Institute.